I've entitled the message today, Friends with God. We started out with the pre-praise song this morning, that really cool upbeat song, I Am a Friend of God, He Calls Me Friend, and how awesome that is. But I want to start with this message, putting some things in perspective. And really, that's kind of what was initiated with the, well, actually, it was initiated with the praise and worship time this morning. The songs that Larissa had picked out were just awesome. Again, regarding, you know, what our place was before the Lord, without Him, but then what He has made us to be by His love for us. And then we see it in the drama presentation about the tremendous, this was obviously a parable that Jesus had shared, and the lesson in that was for us to understand how much we owed God our sin against Him, and that He forgave all of that. I mean, we, you know, we hear the phrase in word and in song, you know, I owed a debt that I could not pay, and He paid a debt that He did not owe. And that's the way it is between God and us. But in putting things in perspective, I wanted to share this passage of Scripture from Luke chapter 7, verse 47, that says, For this reason I say to you, her sins, which are many, have been forgiven, for she loved much, but he who has forgiven little loves little. And this is regarding the woman who had the, you know, the bad reputation, and Jesus is in this household of religious leaders, and there, when she comes in to anoint His feet with the perfume and to wash His feet with her tears and her hair, you know, they're looking down on her, saying, doesn't He know what a sinner she is? And this is Jesus' reply when He's talking about her. She has been forgiven much, and she loves much. The result of her being forgiven much is that she's responding with much love. And so that's kind of where we're going today as well with when we're talking about putting things in perspective. It's like the servant who was forgiven so much, the proper thing would be have for him to have gone out and forgiven even the small thing in comparison to his own sin, the offense against him, to go out and forgive, to forgive much because we've been forgiven much. And that's a result of His great love for us and then our response and love back to Him. But in Romans chapter 5, in verses 6 through 11, I'd like to have you turn there with me, please. And in this passage of Scripture, again, we're working towards putting things in their proper perspective and understanding our relationship with God. And this is, you know, really a part of our series of living for Christ and recognizing the fact that, you know, one of the issues that we deal with is our relationship with the Lord. Sometimes we have struggle with that. Sometimes it's little struggle. Sometimes it's great struggle. But what can we do about it when we're struggling with our relationship with the Lord? What are some of the reasons we have for having struggle with the Lord, and what can we do about it? In Romans chapter 5, verses 6 through 11, I want to start out with verses 6 through 8. It says, when we were utterly helpless, everyone say that, utterly helpless. Okay, that was our position. When we were utterly helpless, Christ came at just the right time and died for us sinners. Everyone say sinners. Okay, so that's our state, utterly helpless sinners. Now, most people would not be willing to die for an upright person, though someone might perhaps be willing to die for a person who is especially good. But God showed His great love for us by sending Christ to die for us while we were still sinners. Okay, so just to toss up some notes about that, again, we were utterly helpless. That was our condition in the eyes of God. But it says that God showed His great love by sending Jesus to die while we were still sinners. Our condition hadn't changed. We were still utterly helpless. We were still, as we'll see here, condemned and sinners. But God's great love was extended through Jesus Christ and to die for us while we were still sinners. Okay, and then verses 9 through 11. And since we have been made right in God's sight by the blood of Christ, He will certainly save us from God's condemnation. For since our friendship with God was restored by the death of His Son, while we were still His enemies, we will certainly be saved through the life of His Son. So now we can rejoice in our wonderful new relationship with God because our Lord Jesus Christ has made us friends of God. Hallelujah. Just to hear those last words, the Lord has made us, the Lord Jesus Christ has made us friends of God. That's just like, that is so cool. Just an awesome thing. But anyway, again, it says we are made right with God by the blood of Jesus. That's what this passage of Scripture says. We are made right with God by the blood of Jesus. We are saved from condemnation. So again, when we're talking about what was our condition, utterly helpless, sinners in the eyes of God, condemned in the eyes of God, that was all that we were. And that was our condition when God sent Jesus to die for our sin, to make us to be right with Him. It goes on to speak about then our friendship with God was restored, and now it says we should rejoice in our wonderful new relationship. And what I want to share with you is notice the condition again of our state when God sent Jesus, when God expressed His love to us first. Note the condition: utterly helpless, sinful, condemned. And so with that, I believe that I can make this statement that no matter your condition, God is for you. I want to start that out, establish that this morning. No matter your condition, God is for you. Now, to be honest, you know, your behavior may be grieving God. Your behavior may be grieving God, and the major reason for that is because if your behavior is contrary to God's will for you, He knows it's going to hurt you. It's like parents who grieve for their kids, not so much because they're embarrassed by what they do, but because they know how it's going to hurt them. They know how their kids are going to be hurt as a result of their behavior. And so it is with God. You know, He may be grieved with us because of our behavior, but there is never a time that God is not for you, no matter your condition. So, you know, if you're challenged right now in your relationship with the Lord and you feel like, okay, well, you know, I'm not going to be on God's good side because of the way I've been behaving. Well, He may be grieved with your behavior, but He is never against you. I mean, just, you know, take the prodigal son and the father and the father's response to the prodigal son. That just shows how God is for us, even when we're in the pig pen. The father's out there just waiting for that son to return. Okay, so no matter your condition, God is for you. Now, this takes us then to one of the base texts that we're using in this series of messages on living for Christ. I've shared with you a number of times already, 2 Corinthians 5:15, that says, He died for everyone so that those who receive His new life will no longer live for themselves. Instead, they will live for Christ who died and was raised for them. So because of the condition that we were in, and because of what God made us to be, put us back in a right relationship with Him, reconciled us to Him, called us His friends even. As a result of that, we ought to have a response. Just like the servant who the king forgave his huge debt, the proper response was for him to go out and forgive the one who had a small debt against him. It was a response because of God's great love and God's great mercy, God's great forgiveness. And so it is with us when we know that Jesus died for us, so we could receive this new life and rejoice in this new life, this new relationship we have. It ought to cause a response of us, not living for ourselves anymore, but living for Him instead. The response of a wonderful new relationship is if we're forgiven much, we should love much, and then we should go around, turn around and forgive much as well. Talking about being friends, have you ever, you know, had this happen where someone you were at odds with, and they came back and they said, you know what, let's make up and be friends, or, you know, let's restore this relationship in some form or another. Typically, what usually happens is usually the one saying this is the one who faulted the other. In other words, you know, I realize that I hurt you. I want to make it up. You know, let's make up and be friends. And forgive my wrong behavior and let's move on. Typically, that's initiated by the one who faulted the other. But in God's case, we're the ones who faulted Him, but He is the initiator of the restoration, even when it's the farthest thing from our mind. Even when it's the farthest thing from our mind. God is the one who initiated. He said, you know what? Let's make things right between us. I want you to be my friend. Let's be friends again. And when we were the farthest from Him in that, as we said in here, in that helpless state, sinners, condemned, even in that position, God says, you know what, let's make it right between us. And He was the one that had to sacrifice to do that by giving His Son Jesus to die for our sin. So, you know, how different this is from what we normally experience in you know, typical friendships. Usually the one who has faulted the other is the one who initiates that, but not in the case with God. we're the ones who faulted him, and yet he initiated the right relationship and the restoration with us. How awesome is that? But let's consider some of the reasons why we struggle in a relationship with God. And you know, it was not hard for me to come up with these things because I've experienced these things with the Lord myself. You know, I've had a relationship with the Lord for many, many, many years. But throughout this, you know, my lifetime of this relationship with the Lord, I have experienced probably every one of these situations. And it's like there's been times where it's like I don't understand the things that are going on in my life. So it's like there's this tension then. Or like this one. You know, I'm attempting to trust God, but it keeps getting worse. Any of you, can you relate? Is this just me that I'm the only one that responds this way? Now, why is it taking so long for answers to my prayers? In fact, I'm not praying anymore. It doesn't do any good. I mean, that's sometimes when we're struggling in our relationship with the Lord, those are sometimes the reasons why. Okay? I know I'm not walking with God as I should, so I'm not too cool with trying to get close because I'm feeling guilty. You know, and if I get close to the Lord, I'm just going to be reminded of the fact that I'm not walking with him like I ought to be. And so there again can that create that tension or that struggle, sometimes great struggle in the relationship with the Lord. Or how about this? God, you let me down. You failed my expectations. Just being honest. Okay? Or how about this? I'm attempting to walk in line with the Word, but I'm not seeing the fruit. You know, so in all honesty, when we experience these kinds of things, it's like, you know, you call me friend, but it doesn't seem like I have that relationship with you. What's going on? Why? And what I want to do with the rest of the message here this morning is try to, again, put things in their proper perspective. Put things in a right perspective so that we can respond in an appropriate way when we're feeling this tension or this this struggle with our relationship with the Lord. So first of all, right side up. Right side up or upside down? I need to ask you this question. I need you to answer honestly with me and do it by some action, okay? With your finger, tell me which way is up. Hallelujah. I think we have unity in this church. That's awesome. Okay, now which way is down? I think we all got it. Awesome. Okay, great. Then I can go on with this. We're all in agreement that up is up and down is down. Up, down. Okay, up, down. Now, what happens sometimes, we get things upside down, don't we? Instead of right side up, we get upside down. And when things are upside down, it gets really, really confusing. When we got down pointing towards up, but up is below down, and they're upside down. Isn't that confusing? Well, that's what happens when we start, getting things confused, and instead of having things right side up, we start putting things upside down. Well, let's look at what would be right side up from the Scriptures. Colossians chapter 1. And verses 15 through 23, we are going to see scripturally right side up. Colossians 1, starting with verse 15, I'm going to give you verses 15 through 18 and then share some notes with you. Colossians 1:15, Christ is the visible image of the invisible God. He existed before anything was created and is supreme over all creation. For through him, God created everything in the heavenly realms and on earth. He made the things we can see and the things we can't see, such as thrones, kingdoms, rulers, and authorities in the unseen world. Everything was created through him and for him. He existed before anything else, and he holds all creation together. Christ is also head of the church, which is his body. He is the beginning, supreme over all who rise from the dead. So he is first in everything. So if we're going to put right side up, what we're going to do is we're going to put Jesus at the top. And that's what the scripture says. Christ is supreme over all creation. He is head of the church. All of these, putting him at the top, putting him as number one. It says Christ is supreme over all who raised from the dead. And it says that Christ is first in everything. Bless you, ambulance crew, as they go out. In Jesus' name, God go with them. So Christ is first in everything. That puts him at number one. He is up. When we're putting right thing, right side up, we put him at the top. He is first, he has first place. He is first in everything. Okay, then read on verses 19 through 22. For God in all his fullness was pleased to live in Christ, and through him God reconciled everything to himself. He made peace with everything in heaven and on earth by means of Christ's blood on the cross. This includes you who were once far away from God. You were his enemies, separated from him by your evil thoughts and actions. Yet now he has reconciled you to himself through the death of Christ in his physical body. As a result, he has brought you into his own presence, and you are holy and blameless as you stand before him without a single fault. Wow, look at what happens when Christ is put in first place. It says that God was pleased to live in Christ. God was pleased to live in Christ. And you were enemies, though you were once enemies. Again, it's putting us in our place where we were in the eyes of God. You were once enemies, but now you are reconciled. It says that you were far away from him. You were separated from him. But now it says that you are reconciled. And then it goes on to say, in his presence, you are holy. You're blameless. You're without fault. So, you know, look at the distance that we went from being helpless, hopeless, enemies of God, sinners, condemned, far away from God, all of this, to the place of being holy and blameless and having no fault in his presence. That's what happened as a result of Jesus reconciling us to himself. Not a work of our own. It was a work of God through Christ on the cross. His blood shed on the cross and us putting him in that place of head over us. First place in everything. First place in our lives. And so when we're putting things in perspective, we need to put Jesus at the top and give him first place. And now I want you to see what it says in verse 23. But you must continue to believe this truth and stand firm in it. Don't drift away from this assurance you received when you heard the good news. The good news has been preached over all the world, and I, Paul, have been appointed as God's servant to proclaim it. So he says, you got to stay in this. Continue to stand firm. Everyone say, stand firm. Say, I'm standing firm in this truth. And truth is what sets us free, isn't it? Okay, so here we are. We got to stand firm in this truth about where we were and where we are now and where God has made us to be. It's helping us to develop a proper perspective and putting Christ as first place in all of that. He's first in everything. He created everything. And so we put him in that place. And again, when we're putting things right side up, we're putting Jesus at the top. Again, developing a proper perspective, right side up or upside down. Right side up is to have Jesus supreme. Or upside down is where we're going to put the circumstances supreme. Okay, so right side up is Jesus supreme. When we're deciding if we're going to be right side up or upside down, if we're going to be right side up, we're going to put Jesus supreme. Or again, to show that graphically, we're going to put Jesus above the circumstances. Jesus above the circumstances. He is first in everything. Okay, so when we're learning how to respond to life situations and the reasons why we even sometimes have these issues with God, God, I'm not very happy with you, it's because we're putting the circumstances up above that place that we have in Christ Jesus. We're not so much agreeing with the Word of God when it says we're friends of God, and if we're friends of God, he's going to take good care of us. But instead, we're saying, no, these are the things that are working against me. I've got these circumstances. And what we do is we turn things upside down and we put the circumstances above Jesus. And it gets it all messed up. That's a perspective that we can have sometimes that goofs us up. Instead of getting things right side up, we end up putting things upside down. We end up putting things under the circumstances. You know, we even say that, you know, sometimes, well, I'm doing pretty good under the circumstances. Why are we under the circumstances? You know, we ought to step up over the circumstances. Hadn't we ought to? You say Jesus is first place in everything. You know, that means he's first place and he's above and he's in me and he's made me to be a friend of God and I'm holy and blameless and faultless in the presence of God. That's what he's made me to be. So why is it that these circumstances, that I'm allowing these circumstances to overwhelm me, to put me in despair? Okay? So that's upside down or right side up. We're making that choice. Now we're going to talk about inside out or outside in. Okay, perspective, inside out or outside in. This is what outside in looks like. That means everything's coming at you from the outside, all these circumstances, which can come in these various forms of like finances. You know, they're battling with you and it's coming from the outside at you and you're trying to respond to it, or trouble, all kinds of, you know, Jesus said as long as you're in this world, you're going to have trouble, you're going to have tribulation. So, you know, it's imperative, it's going to be there. These things coming at you and you responding, you know, desperate because of the trouble, or, you know, relationships that are not in their proper, you know, place, you're not properly relating, and these things are causing you issues, and all these things are attacking you from the outside. It might be work-related, you know, these kind of things that are you're struggling with, issues at work, and it's just getting you down, all that. There's other possibilities that could happen, you know, like Green Bay could lose the... could lose the Super Bowl, you know, and you're showing yourselves right now, okay? You're showing yourselves whether you're looking inside out or outside in. Get this family in order, right? But see, these are the kinds of things that, you know, we allow them, they can, you know, put us in a position of despair. You know, I'm just saying, you know, that's the, if we're not putting things right side up, and I'll show you what I mean by inside out instead of outside in. This is outside in. This is an improper perspective because we're letting these things overwhelm us or cause us despair. Whereas outside in, a perspective of inside out or inside out would be, first of all, recognizing our place in Christ. Jesus supreme. Okay, he's number one. He's number one in my life. I'm putting him in that place. He's there anyway, so I best recognize that. Put him as number one in my life. He's called me to be a friend of God. He's made me to be a friend of God. He's reconciled me, and I'm in God's presence without fault, even as the scripture says, blameless, holy. That's what he's made me to be. So then we realize that perspective of who is on the inside of us and who he's made us to be, and then we start addressing those situations, those circumstances in our life as a result of that. You know, because of who is in me, because I have this friendship with God, you know, we can drop his name, hallelujah, because that's the place that he has given us. That's the relationship he's given us. Finances, in fact, we're to address things in the name of Jesus. That's what he said when you pray, you know, pray in my name. Finances, trouble, you know, all these things that I talked about, except, to be honest, I left off the Packers because I thought, you just will have to deal with that. I'm not going to try and tell you how to deal with the Packers if they lose. But, you know, you work that out with the Lord. But all these kinds of things. It's a person of faith. She's speaking things that be not as though they are. Things that should be as though they will be, or whatever, okay? So, I can't wait till next week's message. Okay, so again, you know, we're talking either outside in or inside out, and I'm encouraging you as, you know, as a result of this to, you know, put this, to have a proper perspective. We want things right side up, not upside down. You know, let me share this with you. And you can write this passage down. Acts chapter 17 and verse 6, we're not going to go there. But this is the place where the Jewish leaders were talking about Paul and Barnabas, and they said, you know what, these guys have turned the world upside down. That was their commentary. But were these guys followers of Jesus? They weren't. So what they saw as upside down was really right side up. But see, they were confused. They were misled. They didn't know. And so and we'll find that with the world too, that the world is trying to put things in their mind right side up, but it's really upside down. And they'll say, what you're doing is really weird. That's not the right way to do it. You got it upside down. You're turning this world upside down. Well, really, we know, though, it's right side up. When Jesus is at the top, when the scripture declares him to be first, supreme, Jesus is supreme, that means he's in first place. He's number one. And that's how we put the world right side up. So again, we're talking either right side up or upside down. And when we're looking at things right side up and we're looking at things from inside out, who we are in Christ, the position he has given us, the friendship that we have, the relationship with him that we have, we're going to have a much more appropriate response to those situations, those conditions in our life that would otherwise cause us to struggle. This is how we can go to these passages of Scripture like this, like 2 Corinthians 5:7, that says, for we live by believing and not by seeing, or we walk by faith, not by sight. That's how we're most often used to hearing this passage of Scripture. We walk by faith, not by sight. We live by believing and not by seeing. That's putting Jesus first. That's putting our relationship with the Lord first before the things that we see, the circumstances that are surrounding us that keep coming at us and many times against us. This is how we can quote this scripture, Proverbs 3:5-6. It says, trust in the Lord with all your heart. Do not depend on your own understanding. Your own understanding is when you allow the circumstances to be on top and Jesus below. When you look at things naturally and say, there isn't any hope, those bills are much bigger than my income, you know, whatever, you know, scientifically this cannot be, you know, answered, or, you know, we look at all kinds of things with natural reasoning, and this is telling us, don't do that. Instead of doing that, trust in the Lord with all your heart. Do not depend on your own understanding. Seek his will in all you do, and he will show you which path to take. Seek his will in all you do, and he will show you which path to take. So again, we're talking about putting things in perspective, proper perspective. That means putting right side up and seeing inside out. Putting things right side up and seeing things inside out. And that is making Jesus number one in me, and I respond to all of life's issues from that perspective. Jesus is number one in me, and I respond to all of life's issues from that perspective. So here it is. I put the right side up. I'm looking inside out. I'm okay with God. He's even given me clout. When life gives me cheese, I order Jesus supreme. Instead of visions of despair, I'm making Jesus my dream. Larissa, didn't you talk about a new song this morning, singing a new song? That's my new song. Okay, so now, for this to be memorable to you guys, you stand up here with me. Let me explain it first. Every artist has to explain his artistry to people who don't understand art. So here, I'll explain it first. Okay, I put the right side up. We already talked about that's putting Jesus at the top, all right, and circumstances underneath. I'm looking inside out. That means I'm addressing the circumstances of life as a result of Jesus in me and who he's made me to be. I'm okay with God. He's made me to be right with him. He's even given me clout. He calls me his friend. Okay, if God calls me his friend, that's clout, like he can't ever get it otherwise. When life gives me cheese, I order Jesus supreme. Now, you understand that, right? We're talking pizza. Cheese is plain old, you know, as compared to supreme. Supreme pizza has everything on it, okay? So instead of just plain old life, we're going to experience it with Jesus supreme. So when life gives me cheese, I ordered Jesus Supreme. Instead of visions of despair, I'm making Jesus my dream. In other words, Jesus is everything to me. Jesus is my dream. So stand up. Okay. Now, everyone has to participate. The only way you can get by without saying this with me is if you want to do the beep bop tunes part. Okay? So, all right, so here we go. I put the right side up. I'm looking inside out. I'm okay with God. He's even given me clout. When life gives me cheese, I order Jesus Supreme. Instead of visions of despair, I'm making Jesus my dream. See, yeah. Now, don't you feel cool like me now? See? Or embarrassed or whatever. You know, it's great when we don't have to take ourselves so seriously. But now, in your notes, what's the last part on the notes? What's it say? Your song. Okay, so that means you get to develop your own. Now, I don't mind if you use my words, okay? They're not copywritten or anything like that. You can plagiarize these words, these lyrics for your own song if you want. You can make it, you know, maybe more time appropriate for you. You know, like something like this, like, stand firm. I got the right side up, I'm looking inside out. I'm okay with God, He's even giving me clout. When life gives me cheese, I order Jesus Supreme. Instead of visions of despair, I'm making Jesus my dream. Standing firm. Whether you're a brother or a sister, you're standing firm. Okay? Or how about this one? I put the right side up, I'm looking inside out. I'm okay with God, He's even giving me clout. When life gives me cheese, I order Jesus Supreme. Instead of visions of despair, I'm making Jesus my dream. I do the holy pokey. Okay? So, is that enough? Anyone else? No, I had time to be creative with that kind of stuff. But anyone else? Just, you know, you got, Helen's got one. Let me think. I put the red side up. I'm looking inside out. Okay, you can be seated. But, you know, the point, I wanted to have something stick in your mind. You know, you'll go out going, I'm putting the right side up, I'm looking inside out. If that's all you remember, right side up, that means Jesus is supreme. Inside out, that means I'm responding to life's circumstances as a result of who He has made me to be. And I'm His friend. He reconciled me to Himself, and I'm His friend. So as a result of that, I'm going to deal with life's issues rather than being full of despair. I'm going to see, you know, God's got answers for me. He wouldn't call me His friend and then just abandon me. So, if, you know, I'm struggling with my issue with a relationship with the Lord. If it's a great struggle for me, why is that? What do I have out of perspective? What do I have upside down, or what do I have that I'm looking outside in instead of inside out? So you good with that? You good with making up your own song? That's your assignment. It's on your notes. Got to do it. All right, let's pray. Thank you, Lord Jesus. We are blessed, Lord, with the scriptures that you share with us that give us truth. Thank you for the supremacy of Jesus Christ. And especially, Lord, when we see a world in turmoil, we know that Jesus is still on the throne. God, you are still on the throne. And that we know that the outcome of things will be as you have chosen, and we see the outcome even in the book of Revelation. So our hope stands high, and we stand firm in these truths, Lord, knowing who we are in Christ and the final outcome. And even when we get bogged down with the circumstances of the world, we know that nothing can separate us from your love, and your great love was shown to us through Jesus, and you made us to be right with you. And as a result of that, we stand in your presence, not condemned, Lord, anymore. We stand in your presence, holy, accepted. We stand in your presence without fault, all these you have made in us, Lord, and we're so thankful and so grateful. I just pray that these truths would settle in our heart, Lord, and that we honestly could come up with our own song to be reminded that Jesus is number one in my life, and I can deal with these issues of life as a result of that. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. You know what?